This morning I wanted to take us to the beautiful words of Isaiah 55 and 56. Two chapters. We might be out before lunch. I trust that you'll be encouraged in your faith this morning and your love for the Lord will continue to grow deeper as you spend time looking into his word as God speaks to you. Isaiah was a prophet for the Hebrew people. His prophetic word came over a period of 40 years, just prior to and including the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel, when the people were taken away into exile into Assyria. And so the southern kingdom of Judah, encompassing Jerusalem, remains intact, yet his words were still applicable to them. He wrote to those in exile in Assyria, but his words rang true in the hearts of those who would later be exiled into Babylon. But chapter 55 contained beautiful words that bring comfort and encouragement. And I trust that you'll be that this morning, comforted and encouraged. These are God's words. God is speaking, literally speaking, in these chapters. These words are delivered through Isaiah, words that regardless of circumstances being anything but what the people would have desired, God invites them, God invites us to come to him. So we'll look at these chapters. Verse 1. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. What a magnanimous God. Magnanimous God, exceedingly kind, overflowing in generosity. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You can come freely. Drink as much as you like. If you're thirsty, quench your thirst. But more than that, if you come looking for water and you have no money even in your pocket, I'll freely give you wine and milk if you so desire. I ask nothing in return. There is no cost. You'll get more than you ask for. What an exceedingly kind and generous God. Verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread? And your labour on what does not satisfy. Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. God now makes it clear that deeper satisfaction comes not in the physical but in the spiritual for the soul. Listen. Feed on what you hear from me, he says. And you will not only be satisfied, but you will delight in the best, in the richest of fare. This is like a spiritual chocolate indulgence. The richest, the most desirable, the most satisfying of fare that will bring you great delight. Come to me. Listen. Verse 3, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live, truly live, live in and with all abundance, overflowing with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be given to you, will be poured into your lap. But you have to come. You have to come to me and listen. So you're finding that the offerings of this world are all too fleeting and misleading? They simply don't satisfy? And come to the Lord, spend time with him in his word, listen to him. And although you might feel like the Hebrew people felt, that life has treated you poorly, left you disheartened and disillusioned, God has made a covenant with you and will not abandon you. Not only that, he'll bring you to a place of peace and joy. Your soul may be filled with delight as you listen to him, as you rest in his presence. And as we read on, remember that Isaiah is writing to a people who are living in exile. These are a people who have been sent into exile by the will of God, and they might even feel like they deserve this. They deserve their punishment. But God says, listen to me, you'll be truly satisfied regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. These are also tough and difficult days, days that hold so little hope. They are despairing, despondent, they're feeling hopeless. They live in, if you like, desperate court. And the way out of that court is blocked. But God says, I will make a covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Again, these are God's words. This is God speaking. Verses 6 and 7 are words from Isaiah, but the rest of the chapter are words spoken from God. And he says, I made a covenant with David, and the surrounding nations bore witness to the faithfulness, my faithfulness to him and to the nation. You too can trust me. You will be restored to a place of splendor. Nations you know not will come running to you. Why? Because I am God. I am the Lord your God. I think like any good preacher, Isaiah then brings his own words of application in verses 6 and 7. Isaiah says, so, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. God says, come to me, and Isaiah now backs that up. Isaiah says, I implore you to come to him, to seek him, to turn to him, to call on him, for our ways and our thoughts are wicked and unrighteous. Our ways, our thoughts are wicked and unrighteous, but as we turn to the Lord, he'll be merciful toward us and he will forgive us. Praise God. To forsake their ways and their thoughts was to refrain from committing the same sins again. Are we forsaking our ways and our thoughts that don't bring honour and glory to our God? Do we actually do that? Do we seek to forsake our ways and our thoughts that don't bring honour to God? Here's a thought. I wonder if forsaking our ways and our thoughts might involve taking a fast off social media. Have you thought about that? Take a fast off social media. Do your ways and thoughts tend to revolve around what you read, you see, you post on social media? Do you have to live your life through your phone? Can you see something without the need to share it? Have you lost the art of taking time alone with your thoughts and allowing yourself to contemplate on the beauty and the character of our great God? Mightn't be social media, it might be something else, some other way that we need to forsake our ways and our thoughts that don't actually bring honour and glory to God. But these verses, verses 6 and 7, they also reveal that our God is magnanimous. The word magnanimous does not only mean exceedingly generous, but it's infused with forgiveness. A person who is magnanimous abhors injustice, but is driven by self-sacrifice for the interests and the safety of the other. And when we break the word down, we see animus, which means alive, spirited, active, and magnus means great, huge, big, great life. Great life is the result of one described as magnanimous. And God is certainly that. Willing to sacrifice self for the interest, the safety, the well-being, the salvation of us. Exceedingly generous, bringing abundant life from a position of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And so Isaiah says, come to God, seek the Lord, come to him, turn to him, and he will be merciful and he will pardon your sin. He will forgive. What a magnanimous God we serve, bringing us great life. And so Isaiah has mentioned our ways and our thoughts. God then continues to reveal more of his ways and his thoughts. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Psalm 145 is a fantastic psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. Speaks of the greatness of God. Begins in this way, great is the Lord, well, from verse 3, great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendour and your majesty. They tell of the power of your awesome works. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Greatness. Mighty acts, glorious splendour, majesty, awesome works, abundant goodness, righteousness. And the psalmist goes on to speak about the wonder of God's love, his compassion and his grace. His thoughts and ways are so much higher than ours. Now, Bill Mills spoke on this passage from Isaiah and he noted that in verses 10 and 11, we see that God in his goodness begins to give us his thoughts and his ways through his word. Verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I've sent it. The result for us when we spend time in God's word, it transforms us. God transforms us through his word. He begins to give us his thoughts and his ways. We start to become more like him. Just as the rain falls for a reason to produce beauty and food, so God's word transforms us and brings beauty and blessing that sustains and satisfies, feeds us. God describes the blessing of spending time in his word in this way, in verses 12 and 13. So as you spend time in God's word, you will then go out in joy, you'll be led forth in peace, the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, all the trees of the field clap their hands, instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. God is essentially saying, your lives are transformed as you spend time in my word, and your faith in me displays glory forever. You are transformed. You experience joy and peace and blessing in this temporal life. On top of that, eternal life. You will receive eternal life. You see, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is truly magnanimous. For our safety, well-being, salvation, our blessing, he is exceedingly generous. He's bringing us abundant life now and eternal life. And so we celebrate. We celebrate his goodness, his mighty and awesome works, his glorious splendor, his majesty, abundant goodness, righteousness, mercy, love, compassion. We celebrate. Trust that you've been encouraged in your faith and your love for the Lord is growing deeper. And it will continue to do that as you spend time in his word. But then in chapter 56, God gives us a couple of examples that show how our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, but he's wanting to transform us and give us his thoughts and his ways. As we see an example here of how God's word transforms us, we pick it up at verse 3. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. What I discovered here is that God is addressing two issues. He's addressing both racism and discrimination. And he says that neither are his ways or his thoughts, racism nor discrimination. We still struggle with that within our society. The foreigner still feels like a foreigner because of the way that we view and treat one another. Foreigners still feel like foreigners. We steer clear and we don't trust people who are not like us. For the childless couple, they still feel incomplete due to the underlying values and ideologies that form our society. It was no different in Isaiah's day. Children were viewed as a sign of blessing, a sign that they were under God's blessing. It was a sign of honour to have children and pride to think that your name would go on into the future. And for the Hebrew people, in terms of racism, they look down upon the surrounding nations, for we are God's chosen people. God, on the other hand, says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but I want you to be like me. Verse 4, for this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, who hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. To the childless couple I will give you better than sons and daughters. I'll give you a name that endures forever. And to those who suffer under racism, verse 6, foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, etc., verse 7, I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, not just the Hebrew people. not just for Jews, for all nations. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For my love is not exclusive, but rather fully inclusive. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you fit in or not, whether you feel that you're accepted or not, you are included in my love. I'll always love and accept you. God's ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? And his ways are always for our best, always bringing great life for all. A magnanimous God calls us to follow him, to follow his ways and his thoughts. Have great love for all. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. There's no difference. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Our magnanimous God, as displayed through the story of Jonah. Think of Jonah, willing to save the people of Nineveh, who were enemies of Israel, but not despised by God. He is overflowing in generosity. He's willingly gave us his son to bring us life. And so we're encouraged to come to him, to come to his word, to seek him, to trust him, to serve him, to allow him to transform us, that we might be more like him. In spite of racism or discrimination, you are accepted and loved. In spite of unfavourable circumstances, God loves you. He's not abandoned you. God is most worthy of our praise, your praise and mine. Amen? So come to him, receive from him great life. We're going to stand and sing our closing song.